Good morning. Great to see everybody today as we come together on this Sunday, where we'll be focusing specifically on the Old Testament lesson from Genesis. So make sure your ears are perked up for the story of Abraham's three visitors today. Our opening hymn is going to be number 538, Praise Be to Christ, and we can remain seated while we sing. Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll read the intro together. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful that by your word and spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis 18, 1 through 14. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly to the tent of Sarah, and said, quick, three sifts of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's psalm is a selection of Psalm 27, which we'll read together. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The epistle reading is from Colossians 1, 21 to 29. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present your holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, as I have been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Kids coming up for a children's message today. All right. Good morning. All right. How's everybody today? All right. I need a volunteer. All right, Grace. Come on up here. I need you. I'm going to pour these out here. I need you to pick up and hold in your hands all of these balls at one time. Can you do it? All right, there's one, two, doing pretty good. Oh, got two. All right, we got two, we got working on three. You know what? I'll tell you what, put your hands out, I'll try and stack them. We got three, here comes four, five. Man, we might get there. Oh, this one's a tough one. Oh, we lost one, we lost two. How about this kickball here? There we go. Okay, get that last one up there, Aiden. Wow, that's better than I thought. All right, one more. Oh, we lost another. Okay, thanks, Grace. You did a very good job. That's kind of hard to hold all of that in your hands at one time, isn't it? You could do it. Well, we might have to practice this after church, maybe. You can practice it at home. But you know, even if we had a few more than we're in here, we would get to some point where we couldn't hold it all in our hands, could we? You know, we could roll it, yeah. You know, it's hard to carry everything all at once, right? I think each one of these balls that we have here, we could think about all the things we have to carry around in life, maybe the things we're worried about. Sometimes adults, I think, feel like they're carrying more than kids do because you guys are so happy and you're a good example to the adults sometimes. But a lot of times adults feel like they're carrying everything in their shoulders or everything in their arms and like they can't hold it all at once. You know, in Colossians, it says that in Christ, all things hold together. What that means is everything in this world is held together by our Lord Jesus Christ. He helped in all of creation in creating everything from hippos to kangaroos to trees to you and to me, and he created us. But not only did he create us, he still holds everything together for us. I remember when I was your age, I learned a song, maybe you knew it too. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know that one? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then you keep going. You can go on that song forever, singing a different verse about everything that God holds in his hands. I think this kind of can remind us today that while we can handle certain things in our life and we think we can handle it on our own, we can't handle everything. And Jesus is there to carry our burdens and to carry all those things that we can't hold in our own hands. And he was there, above all else, to do something else. You know, with his hands, you know what he did? He went up on the cross for us, right? And he spread out his hands to die on the cross for us. And now in his hands, that are right next to God the Father in heaven, he's still got the marks of those nails on there. And you know what that reminds God of? The thing that Jesus did for you and for me, that he died for our sins. And the one thing that Jesus doesn't ever want us to have to carry around anymore is our sins and our guilt. So I want you to know we're forgiven for everything we've ever done wrong, and Jesus carries all of our burdens for us in his hands. He carries the whole world in his hands, because in Jesus all things hold together. Can you guys pray with me? Let's have the whole congregation pray along. Dear Jesus, thank you for holding all things in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks everybody. Foundation, O saints of the Lord, is laid. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I wonder, have you ever been wined and dined? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's when someone takes you out for a lavish dinner or some kind of an extravagant experience without having you worry at all about the cost. For the ladies in the room, maybe You were wined and dined on the evening when your husband proposed. Maybe he took you out to the nicest restaurant you've ever been to, and you got a feeling that maybe something was up, and then he popped the question. If it happened in your career, maybe it was a salesman who saw you or your company as a potential client for his services. Maybe he took you out for a round of golf and an open bar on the 19th hole. Or a five-star quarterback might be the type that gets taken to UT or A&M. They roll out the red carpet for him. They give him the full experience. And I guess at that age, we hope he doesn't get wined, maybe just dined. But whatever it is, being wined and dined is an amazing experience when you get to be on the receiving end. But let's not be naive here, right? You know that when this happens, your host isn't doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's not doing this for you, really. He's doing this because he wants something. He wants you as a client, or he wants you to say yes. It's his way of influencing you just a little bit, so you're more well-disposed to his point of view. It often works, too, doesn't it? And I guess it's all fair game, because when you're being wined and dined, everyone knows exactly what that person is doing and why. But you know, it's not so good when we try and play that kind of a game with God. Haven't we all thought at times that doing something for God, serving him up our best in some way, is the way that we're going to ultimately get him to do something for us? That's no good at all. And it's actually totally unnecessary. You see, we don't serve God in order to get God to do stuff for us. We don't buy his service by bribing him with our service. We don't need to do that. Yes, we do serve the Lord in any and every way that he calls us to do, but we do that in faith, not to guilt God, and we always remember ultimately who's the one who serves who in that relationship. We remember that it's actually always God who is doing the infinitely greater service towards us. Today we read in the Old Testament lesson a story from Genesis that is so often neglected. It's a story where Abraham and Sarah are visited by three mysterious men. It was a hot day. Abraham had pitched his tents underneath the oaks in a place called Mamre, and in the heat of the day, he's sitting there in the door of his tent, probably just hoping for a slight breeze, when he looks up, and right before him are three men standing there. Now, Abraham's reaction to what would have been a pretty commonplace happening tells us that there is something more going on here than meets the eye, because when Abraham sees these men approaching, he runs out to them. He bows down before them with his face down to the ground. You see, the text tells us that Abraham realized right away that these men weren't really normal men at all, but somehow Abraham could tell that they were visitors from heaven. One of the three was the Lord himself, and later on we find out in the next chapter of Genesis that the other two were angels that accompanied him. So in the presence of the Lord and his angels, Abraham was moved in his heart to do something, to show them the kind of ancient world hospitality that would give honor to these heavenly guests. He asked the three visitors to remain with him just for a while, to rest a bit under the cool shade of the oaks. He asked them that he might be allowed to go inside and bring them some water and just a morsel of bread so that they could be refreshed on this blazing hot summer day. So these three men, the Lord and his two angels, granted Abraham's request, and off went Abraham into the tent to get Sarah to start making the bread, kneading all of this flour into cakes of bread. He ran out then to the herd, and he picked out his very best calf and had a servant prepare it quickly for them to eat. And finally, he took curds of cheese and milk along with the meat and the bread to these three men, and he gave it to them to eat, and they stood there eating this mere morsel that Abraham offered. But you see, it wasn't just a small morsel, as Abraham had said. It was a feast that was truly fit for royalty, a huge meal that showed the honor that was due to Abraham's visitors. And the three men ate, and Abraham watched on. What in the world is Abraham doing in this story, I wonder? I wonder, is he trying to do this to get the Lord right where he wants him? Is he buttering these three visitors up for something? I mean, maybe this dining, and who knows, there could have been wine along with the milk. Maybe it could have been just that. Maybe Abraham was trying to set the Lord up so that the Lord would then do something for him. In context, did you know that this story in Genesis, it comes right before the account of Sodom and Gomorrah? You'll remember that story, don't you? In that story, Abraham asks the Lord for a favor. Abraham asks the Lord to spare Sodom and Gomorrah because his nephew Lot lives there. And he says, if there are just 50 righteous people in the city, no, 40, then 30, then 20, and finally, he says, if there are just 10 righteous people in the city, Lord, won't you spare it? Well, I guess that story, if you put it in Washington, D.C., or in Austin, Texas, I guess we would call it lobbying. I do for you, you do for me. I guess that could be. I suppose Abraham could have tried to point to what he had done in service to the Lord as the basis of getting the Lord to do what he desired later on, but in reality, at a closer look, that's not what Abraham's doing at all. When he's at Sodom and Gomorrah in the next chapter, Abraham doesn't mention the lavish meal that he prepared for the Lord and his angels at Mamre. Instead, he just appeals to the Lord's mercy when he asks. The meal Abraham provided to those three visitors is best understood instead as a meal that Abraham prepared in faith. His faith moved him as he recognized that he was in the very presence of the Lord to do something to honor the Lord in whatever small way was at his disposal. So you know what? Abraham is not lobbying God here. But think of the many ways that we do try to lobby God, thinking that our relationship to him must be on the basis of I do for you and then you do for me. How many times, for example, in a war as the shells are exploding all around, has someone said, I promise to go to church every Sunday, Lord, if you'll just get me home safely. Even a 22-year-old Martin Luther did something similar. He vowed in the midst of a thunderstorm to become a monk if the Lord would just get him out alive. How many faithful and loving wives have bargained with God? Lord, if I pray hard enough, my husband's going to get well, right? How many times do we look back at our life and say all of the blessings God has given us are somehow just due to the fact that God has recognized all of the good things that we've done? Do we say things like, well, the Lord certainly wouldn't have prospered me and let me live so long if I hadn't been in church every Sunday? I suppose that even us Lutherans, who do understand that God relates to us by grace, might even say, Lord, I know I don't get to heaven by my works, but they ought to count for something, right? You see, the reality that the scriptures paint for us is this, that God doesn't need our whining and dining. Whatever service we offer to him is offered up in faith, and it's certainly not as good as we think it is. Everything we do, even the things we do for him, are certainly corrupted at least a little bit by our sinful motives. And if we're trying to do something, to selfishly get something back from God in return and manipulate him, well, that's a sin too. Instead, here's the beautiful truth, that the Lord is always graciously serving us because he's the greatest servant of all. You see, even before Abraham set the table for those three visitors at Mamre, the Lord had done something amazing for Abraham. Right before that in the story, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. It's called the covenant of circumcision, but it was a covenant that came with a promise. The promise given to Abraham with that covenant was that he and his wife Sarah, who were barren and who were already well beyond childbearing age, would indeed have a son of their own to be named Isaac. The purpose that these three men came to Abraham's tent that day was to announce to Sarah that very same promise that Abraham had heard a chapter earlier, that Sarah would have a son by that time next year. And that son of promise was to be named Isaac because Isaac in Hebrew means he laughs. That was the initial reaction of both Abraham and Sarah when they heard the news. Laughter. It seems laughable, I guess, that this old-aged couple could possibly conceive, but you know what? I don't guess it's any more laughable than, say, a virgin conceiving and giving birth. Here's the miracle of the gospel, right? The Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, announces to Sarah that by that time next year, she'll have a son, ultimately through whom generations down the line will come the Son of God, who will be incarnate into the flesh through Isaac's line. That's the greatest servant of all, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus. Our Lord who had come down to serve us by living a perfect life that we could never live. Who had come to serve us by giving that perfect life on the cross to pay for our sins. Who would serve us by coming out of that tomb alive on the third day. And he would secure for us a heavenly wining and dining that's going to be fit for a king and beyond our wildest imagination. See, that food that Abraham prepared at Mamre for the three visitors, it was good food, but it would only satisfy for a while. Any human guest would have to eat again. But the banquet that the Lord is preparing for us in heaven will satisfy us for an eternity. And even today, in the church, Christ is at the table with us as one who serves. He's the greatest servant. There's a place called the Chapel of Christ the Servant in Coventry Cathedral in England. And there's an altar there, a round altar, and around it in the stone, in the floor, are the words, "I am among you as one that serves." That's a quote from Christ's own lips in Luke 22. So in that place, every time a Christian comes there to receive the body and blood of Christ, they can't evade that message. As they bow their heads there or as they bend their knees upon it, those words are around the altar. I am among you as one that serves. You see, the heart of the difference between Christianity and all the pagan religions of this world is this. In these false religions that have all just been made up in the imagination of man, those false gods seek our devotion and our service in order that maybe, just maybe, they'll give us some kind of a reward. Christ, though, the true God-man, is so unlike that. He tells us that his priority is to give by grace to us everything that is rightly his own, to prioritize giving to us over receiving from us. He's among us as one who serves. He says to us, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ serves us our whole life through. In baptism, he declares over us, you are my child. In the word of absolution, he says, I forgive you all your sins. He serves us in the word that's preached from the pulpit, that Christ died for you, and he serves us his own body and his blood in, with, and under that bread and wine that's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so we as Christians can live a life where we give without getting anything in return because Christ has already given us everything. You know, usually when we think about being wined and dined, it's because someone wants something from us, right? So isn't that amazing that the Lord, who needs nothing from us, wines and dines us even for eternity at that heavenly banquet, just because he wants to serve us, just because he wants to give to us, to bless us. So what a privilege it was that day for Abraham and Sarah to entertain the Lord. And for us, through baptism, that same presence and communion with the Lord is ours too. As we live our lives, it's a privilege to be his vessel, and we just share his grace with those he places around us. Because through our serving, whatever it may be, we share with the world that he, Christ, is the greatest servant of all. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you've made your word fully known in the person of your Son and in the proclamation of his gospel. Bring many people out of the darkness of this world and into the light of your church to share in the blessings that Christ has won for us in his death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your minister St. Paul suffered for the sake of Christ's church and called both Jews and Gentiles into Christ's one body. Sustain the unity of the faith that he forged within us even today, and give your ministers today faithful hearts to endure any struggles. We pray, Lord, that you would especially be with the missionaries of your church, including Julie Aftab and John and Jen Wolf. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you chose Abraham and Sarah, even though they were barren, to bring forth the promised child. Grant your heavenly comfort to those without children, hear their prayers, and grant their godly desire. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, give wisdom and patience to all who are in authority in our land. We especially ask your blessing and guidance over Joe, our president, and Greg, our governor. Let them serve with integrity and always for the benefit of those under their leadership, to the cause of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of all wickedness. Lord, give your strength and power to those who serve in our nation's armed forces, as we ask your blessing especially upon Christopher Brand, Caleb Burton, Warren Evans, Jake Haygood, Caleb Pyle, Ryan Spray, Byron Taylor, and Dylan Robbins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your people suffer in this life before they reach your heavenly kingdom. So we ask that you would sustain all those who are suffering in particular ways, praying your blessing upon Brianna Beasley, Melinda Bennett, Don Buck, Beverly Desmond, Charlene Frankie, R.C. Frankie, Marion Fritchie, Nellie Gonzalez, Mike Graffelman, Evelyn Hoschke, Glenda Herzog, Dolores Karish, Morgan Ray Karish, Evelyn Casper, Thelma Kieschnick, Audrey Koenig, Rose Lehman, Kevin Margeson, Travis Merchant, Clarence Mitschke, Diana Mitschke, Lillian Peach, Victoria Pope, Betty Richter, Lane Schramm, Marie Schultz, Laverne Schultz, Michelle Smith, Doreen Stastari, and Amy Wagner. Lord, give them the same spirit that you gave Paul, that they would endure all sufferings in faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you've forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through your Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us. Give us all things that we need for this body and life, and keep us from anything that would harm us. From you, through you, and to you, Lord, are all things. We pray this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one Lord, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated as the offering's collected. Thank you. rise as we sing the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lamb of God. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. All right, a couple announcements today. The first is that our photo directory pictures are going to be coming to a close. If you've not yet had a chance to do that and have your picture made, the last Sunday is going to be, I believe, next week. Is that correct, Jackie? Yes. There you go. Okay, great. Next week will be your last opportunity to have your picture made for the photo directory. It is time for us to be thinking about the annual Winchester Area Volunteer Fire Department Fish Fry and Auction, which is this coming Saturday. We do ask members of the community if you're willing to bring some desserts along to have for the dessert service there. That would be great. Also, auction items are much appreciated. If you do have auction items to bring for the fire department fish fry, they can be dropped off on Friday morning if you have them available by then, or on Saturday. It's a little easier for the folks running the auction if you have them in hand to bring them on Friday and get them checked in early, but we will take them either day, and we thank the community for any help that they can give. Do we have other announcements today? All right, I don't see any hands, so we'll close with our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.